Good morning, Next Level Church. My name is Joseph McMurray. It's great to see all of you this morning. Thanks so much for worshiping with us and being a part of what God is doing here at Next Level. We are walking together through a series called I Believe, exploring the foundations of our faith through the Apostles' Creed. So I want to ask you if you would at this time go ahead and stand to your feet and let's read this ancient confession together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty, from which he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Before you sit, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We worship you this morning. Father, we have worshiped you through music, and now, God, we worship you through the reading of your word and the proclamation of it. God, I pray that the words that are spoken this morning would minister to our hearts, that we would walk out of this place with a better understanding of your incredible love for us and what it means to say, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. God, I pray that you would move me out of the way and allow your word and your word alone to have center stage this morning. We love you. May everything that's said and done bring honor and glory to your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have a seat. Well, again, my name is Joseph, and it's a privilege for me to get to be with you. Pastor Clay asked me to share this morning, and at the time, he was planning to be away on a mission trip. Plans changed. He said, hey, why don't you go ahead and come anyway? So I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to get to talk with you about what it means when we read this line of the Apostles' Creed that says, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. My wife, Lisa, and I had the privilege last Saturday of attending the NASCAR All-Star Race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Has anybody ever been to a race at Charlotte Motor Speedway? Sweet, a few of you have. That's great. If you have not, let me just tell you that the experience of attending a race at Charlotte Motor Speedway, it's an amazing experience. The sights and the sounds and the smells, it's like an amusement park for the senses. And that has nothing to do with racing, let me tell you, I promise. But when the command is given to fire engines and 43 race cars fire up those engines, the rumble and the sound that emits from those things it's unbelievable. To say that a NASCAR race is loud is an understatement. I would recommend if you ever do go, please take with you some sort of hearing protection because it will knock you out of your seat. The feeling of 43 race cars and the sound, the vibration, the volume, it's unbelievable. And as I heard one patron express to another, and I quote, you ain't experienced it till you have experienced it. For those on the outside looking in to auto racing, you may see NASCAR as simply one thing, 43 rednecks turning left for 4 hours, right? I mean, that's for a lot of us, that's what NASCAR looks like. But the reality is that there is a lot more that goes into that driver and that car being on a racetrack than just the driver turning left for 4 hours. There's an entire team of people behind that race car doing specific tasks to make sure that what we see on Sunday afternoons is the car and the driver. Every team has a crew chief and a pit crew of 7 people. There's an engine specialist, a tire specialist, several engineers employed by each team, the team manager, the team owner, the truck driver whose responsibility is to get the race car and a backup car and all of the equipment from racetrack to racetrack all across the country so that we can see the car and the driver. This is not even to take into account the literally hundreds of people who work in each race shop, putting together all of the specifics to make race week happen week after week after week. I once met a young man whose job, part of his job, was to hot glue lug nuts onto rims so that changing tires could be that much faster. The nuts are already there. Done. There are so many jobs that go into putting the race car on the track so that spectators like you and I see the driver in the car. Believe it or not, a lot of us look at church this way. Rednecks turning left. No, that's not what I mean at all. A lot of us look at church in this way, in that we see one thing, or we think about one thing when we think of the church. For a lot of us, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or admit it, but when you hear the word the church, your mind goes to a building that you show up and attend. Maybe this one. It may be that you see that one thing as your refuge from the world, or maybe you look at the church as a refuge for the world. It may be that when you think of the church, you think of those who represent the church, like Pastor Clay. Maybe you think of the ministries that are offered for your children or for your students. Perhaps when you think of the church, your mind immediately goes to what it is that you get out of being a part of the church. When we read a confession like the Apostles' Creed that says, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church," then it begs the question, what does that mean? And do I really believe it? Some of you are aware that for the purposes of this teaching series, we've edited the Apostles' Creed so that it reads, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church." In its original form, the Apostles' Creed reads, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church." It would be odd for us to stand and say, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church," even though the word Catholic in the Apostles' Creed has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. The word Catholic in the Apostles' Creed means universal. It's Catholic with a little c. It means, "I believe in the universal church." That is, all of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation and are a part of Christian community. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the Holy Christian Church. All believers united together because of faith in Jesus. It is Christian community that we confess when we confess, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church." We won't open to this spot this morning, but if you were to look at Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42 and 46, and other verses as well, you would see a picture of the early church. This passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 46, gives us a picture of community in its most raw form. The early church, the believers who were, they were the first generation of Christ followers. They lived out for us an incredible picture of what community looks like. And here's what we find. They were committed to the teachings of Jesus. They were committed to fellowship. They ate together, meals as well as taking communion. They prayed. They shared their stuff with each other, and they took care of the needs of others voluntarily. There was no government that had to tell them, "You have to give a portion of what you own to take care of those with less." They voluntarily took care of those in their midst who were in need. Even when it wasn't time for their worship gathering, they got together and hung out. They had meals in each other's homes. They ate together and enjoyed each other's company. The book of Acts shows us what Christian community looked like in the first generation of Christians. They were pioneers of community. And as they lived out community, they show us the church. What we see in their demonstration is that the Christian life is better when it is shared with others. There was a television commercial when I was a child in which there was a group of people much like this gathered together in a movie theater to watch a scary film. And I don't know who the ad geniuses were who came up with this, but the camera pans in on a young lady whose snack in the movie theater is an open jar of peanut butter and a spoon. The next shot shows a young man in the balcony of the movie theater whose snack is a candy bar, chocolate. The movie gets scary. Everybody jumps. The guy loses his chocolate bar. And where does it land? Perfectly in the young lady's jar of peanut butter. The two ultimately meet at the candy counter where they both order the same candy bar, and the tagline says, two great tastes that taste great together, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Chocolate, good. Peanut butter, good. Put them together, yeah, now we're talking, right? We could probably think of a lot of things that are good on their own, but when you put them together, they're better together. Milk is good. Cookies are good. Milk and cookies, better together. Chips are good. Salsa's good. Put them together, chips and salsa is good. French fries are good. Ketchup is good. Dip your French fries in ketchup, better together. We could come up with a really long list of things that are better together. Your life as a follower of Christ is the same. Not that it tastes better when it's dipped in ketchup, but that it's better when it is lived out together with other followers of Jesus Christ. If you don't remember anything else I say today, I want you to remember this. When we read this line of the Apostles' Creed that says, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, we are saying, I believe that we are better together. When we read, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, we're saying, I believe we are better together. I want you to read with me from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 14 through 20. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bible or on an app on your phone or just listen as I read. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. What I want you to see this morning when we think about this idea of the Holy Christian Church is that followers of Christ, we are better together. Here's the first thing I want you to catch in this passage of Scripture. You are not alone. When it comes to your faith, when it comes to your life as a follower of Jesus, you are not alone. Look at verse 14 with me again. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Think back to my NASCAR analogy. It takes hundreds of people working together to put a driver and a car onto the track to compete. And it's the same with the church. 1 Corinthians 12:14 says that the body is not made up of one part, not just the individual, but of many. Each of us, followers of Christ, is a part of the body, the church. Just as a race team has a driver and a crew chief and a pit, there's many, many positions. The church has many, many positions, and you play one of those positions. In your relationship with God and in your position in the body of Christ, the church, you need others to push you. You need others to challenge you, others to make you better than you can be by yourself. You're not alone. Just as a team needs each position, followers of Christ, we need each other. And that's the second idea here. We need each other. Listen to verses 15 through 17 again. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? When Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, there was a specific argument going on. And really, the argument was around the idea of the spiritual gifts and which of the spiritual gifts is more important than the other. This idea of spiritual gifts, Paul would ultimately say that each one is important and none is more elevated than the other. Don't take your spiritual gift and say, well, I would be better if I had her spiritual gift. Or don't take your spiritual gift and say, well, if I don't have that, then I don't want to be a part of the body at all. The idea of spiritual gifts is that when a person trusts in Jesus for salvation, and not just to the point of I'm going to believe that it's true and adjust my behavior, but actually comes to the point of repenting of sin, turning from that which separates you from God, and committing to live a life pursuing Him and committed to Him, you receive the deposit of the Holy Spirit. God Himself comes to live inside you, is with you forever at all times. And with that deposit of the Holy Spirit comes the gifts of the Spirit. That gift may be the gift of teaching. It may be the gift of mercy or hospitality or administration. There are places in Scripture where we can find lists of those gifts that the Spirit gives as He sees fit. Each one of us are intended to use the gift that we have been given so that the church might be the best it can be. We're supposed to play our position so that the team can perform at its best level. You can find the spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Ephesians chapter 4, if you're taking notes. Lisa and I once moved into a neighborhood that was still under construction. Our home was one of the first homes completed, and so as a much younger man, I had the opportunity to watch the other homes in our neighborhood be completed. I hadn't been around construction before, and it was fun for me to watch as a vacant lot would, the ground would be broken, and footers would be poured, and block walls would be built, and then framing and plumbing and electrical and the whole process. But what was cool to see is that there's really one guy who's in charge of the whole project, the general contractor. And every time something else, some other piece of the puzzle needed to be completed, there was another team, another subcontractor who would show up to complete the work until ultimately the house was built. And it took all of these different people doing their part to complete the whole under the direction of the general contractor. He has the plans. He knows where everything is supposed to go. The church is a lot like a house under construction in this sense. Each believer has an important role to play, and we need each other to do the work. God knows exactly where the pieces go, and He knows exactly what He is doing. He puts the pieces together. And that's the third idea that I want you to see from this passage of Scripture, is that, yes, you're not alone in this. We need each other, and God Himself puts the pieces together. Look at verses 18 through 20. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Followers of Christ, we are better together. Paul says of the church, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. So if you have trusted Jesus to rescue you from your sin and give you the promise not only of eternal life on the other side of death, but the abundant life here and now, the Bible says you are the church. You are a part of the body, and God has arranged the parts of the body. God has gifted you in a way that He chose for you before time, and He knows exactly how you have been wired to contribute to the work of His kingdom on earth. I think a lot of times we confuse the gifts of the Spirit with natural abilities and talents. It's not always the natural ability and talent that the Holy Spirit has placed in your life as your spiritual gift. The gift that God has given you is meant to contribute to the work of His kingdom here on earth. You're not alone. We need each other, and God puts the pieces together. Many of you call this body of believers, Next Level, your church home, because what you have found here is authentic community. The word authentic clearly means real. not fake. It is as it appears or as it is claimed. When I purchased my wife's engagement ring 15 years ago, I purchased that piece of jewelry with the understanding, because of the person who sold it to me had claimed that it was a 1-carat European cut diamond on a platinum band. If after I purchased that ring, I had taken it to an appraiser and got the appraisal sheet back and found out that it was cubic zirconia on sterling silver, I would have felt as though I had been ripped off. What I purchased was what had been claimed. What is not authentic is fake. A community of Christ followers positions itself to be authentic, not only when it does what it claims to do, but when it is who it claims to be. There's a very thin line that separates the church as an institution from the church as a community. A church as an institution can claim to be a church essentially when it does three things. First, if it rightly administers the ordinances of baptism and communion. Second, if it encounters the spoken, written, and living word of God. And third, if it actively joins in the mission of God on earth. That's what makes the church as an institution the church. But there's a thin line between a church as an institution and a church as a community. See, those things allow the church to do what it claims to do. But since we believe in the Holy Christian Church, our role in authentic community is to be who we claim to be, and to do so by the following. The first that I want to share with you is, in order for us to be authentic followers of Christ and an authentic community, each one of us needs to go. You've been commissioned by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 28 to go. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You, follower of Christ, have been commissioned to go. And for some of you, that may mean you're going to go to Africa. And for some of you, that may mean that you're going to go to Guatemala or Dominican Republic or another state in these here United States. But really, the active verb in this commission is not just that you would go in the big sense, but that as you are going, you would be making disciples. That you would carry the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you when you go to your office place, when you go to the school where you teach, when you go to the ball field, when you go to the grocery store. That your life would be lived in such a way that you are a living example of the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that as you are going, you're making disciples. Secondly, obey God's commands. Exodus chapter 20 shows us the Ten Commandments. And this Old Testament teaching, still to this day, I believe, is God's plumb line for a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. It is a measuring stick for how we respond to God and how we respond to others. And if we're going to live out authentic community, if we're going to be a church that is who we say we are, then this baseline for us should be where we line up with God. That we are honoring Him, that we are pleasing Him, and that we are pursuing right relationships with the people around us. Go, obey. Thirdly, love with all you are. Matthew 22, 37 through 39, Jesus replied to those who asked him, "What is the great commandment?" with this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." If we're going to be authentic followers of Christ, if we're going to be the church, we need to love him with all we are and love our neighbor as well. We could do many messages about what it looks like to love your neighbor, but all of social justice and caring for others is wrapped up in this idea of loving neighbors as we love ourselves. Next, live out the fruit of the Spirit. We need to live out the fruit of the Spirit in here as well as out there. I told Clay this week, somehow every time I have the opportunity to preach at Next Level, the fruit of the Spirit comes up. Because friends, we get the privilege of allowing God to live in us and through us and responding and reacting to those in our lives in such a way that they might get to experience the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control that is only ours because of the Spirit who lives inside us. Live the fruit of the Spirit. And then finally, share your gifts and abilities to your very best for God's glory. This is where it gets fun. God has given each of us gifts that we can use together to accomplish his purpose. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. If you're following along, the acrostic there says goals. Now, I had to finagle the A a little bit, but you'll remember it. I had to finagle the A, and I chose to because a couple of years ago I had the privilege of spending some time hiking in Israel with an incredible teacher, a guy named Brad Gray. And every morning before we would take off on our adventure, we would recite together the Shema in Hebrew, which is that passage from which Jesus quotes, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And my teacher was very intentional about that word, all. It's not just I'm gonna love a little bit, but with all that I have. Our role in Christian community is to go and make disciples, obey the Lord's commands, love with all that we are, live out the fruit of the Spirit, and share our gifts and abilities for God's glory. And then we get to see God's community extended for the sake of Jesus. If you're in a place this morning where you're not really a part of the church yet because you have yet to commit to following Jesus, and again, I don't just mean you haven't said, yeah, I believe, and raised my hand at some point in your life and decided to adjust your behavior, but instead having come to the point of being heartbroken over your sin that separates you from a right relationship with God and choosing to repent from that sin or turn away and pursue a real relationship with God by committing to him and him alone, giving over control over you, of your life to him. Let today be the day that you move from a destiny of certain death to a destiny of not only life after this life, but the abundant life here and now. I'm going to pray in just a moment to close us out, and we'll have some incredible folks over here to my right and your left who would love to talk with you about what it means to take your next step of faith with Jesus, to be a part of the church, so that not only do you get to participate in the church, but you get to be the church as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you that you loved us first and you allowed your only son, Jesus, to die a brutal death of sacrifice in our place so that if we would believe, if we would put our all, our faith in you, we can have everlasting life and life abundant here and now. Father, I pray for those who struggle with this idea of repenting of sin and committing to follow. May we not be stuck in a cycle of believing and behaving and feeling guilty and changing and starting it all over again. But God, may we move to a place of repentance and commitment to follow you. May you fill each of us with your Holy Spirit. Allow us to discover, if we've not already, the gifts that you have given us so that we might contribute to the work of the church in Christian community and truly be able to say, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. In Jesus' name, amen.